And I'm reading verses 1 to 3. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, son of Amittai. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go unto them, unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord." May God be with us today and grant to us the understanding of his word. God bless you. Beloved, it's so good to be here with you today. If you have the health quotient forms, those are for you to take away. And just do it at home. It's private, so you don't need to tell me what the results are. But the health quotient forms really is to help you and to for you to have a look and reflect on your own health and say, these are the numbers that I need to change. These are the things that I need to do. So it's really a very good exercise. We are very privileged to be living at these times. We are living at the very end of time. The Lord Jesus Christ is about to put in his appearance. And if you are a prophecy watcher, if you understand what's going on around you, then you will have noticed that President Donald Trump, or President-elect Donald Trump, has said he will give unprecedented power to the churches. That is an amalgam of church and state, and it's the beginning of the mark of the beast. It's about the end is about to be come upon us. This is the time for us to be soberly looking forward to and praying, because the Lord Jesus Christ is about to come. Just want to say a word of welcome to Pastor Greg Wilson and his wife. It's good to see you, Greg. Four pastors in the house today. I don't know what's happening. But I have, I remember Greg coming and we having that interview, Greg, as you thought about going to study at Newbold and watching your journey. And so it's good to see you here today. Just want to share with you what we're doing in Spain. So if I could, just got a 3-minute video of our place in Spain. If I could ask our technicians to show that to you at this time. that's just a little overview of where we are in Spain. And we've just finished a 10-day health retreat with some of our health guests, which went really, really well. So we'd be more than happy to welcome you to our place in southern Spain. Spirit of God is in this place today. Let's just bow our heads as we pray. Father God, we're just so thankful that we can come before you at this time. And I pray that you'll take the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts. May they be acceptable in your sight. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you today about the divine assignment. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Bible tells us that the word of the Lord comes to Jonah and the word makes him uncomfortable. It's a word that's uncompromising. It's a word that's about to take him out of his comfort zone. It's a word that is non-negotiable. It's a word that challenges Jonah to look at the world through different lenses. And Jonah is not happy with the divine assignment. In fact, as we go through the narrative, there is no remonstrance with the Lord. Jonah doesn't argue with God because you can never win an argument with God. But Jonah is resolved that he is not taking up this particular assignment. And the Bible tells us that he goes down to Joppa and buys himself a ticket to Tarshish, which happens to be in Spain. Jonah decides he needs a suntan. And he's going on holiday. It's always, as you look in the Bible, reading the Bible, it's never a good thing to be going down anywhere. And so Jonah, the Bible tells us, goes down to Tarshish. Goes down to Joppa. Samson went down to Timnath. Saul bowed down to the witch of Endor. Lot laid down with his daughters. Going down is never really such a good thing. And then Jonah goes down into the bottom of the boat, rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. But I want to tell you this morning that you can never run from the presence of the Lord. Jonah is running away from his responsibility to the Lord. God has given him an assignment, and that assignment makes him feel uncomfortable. And Jonah, in running to Tarshish, is running to a far country, running away from his responsibility to God. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likely to be broken up. And verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay there, and he was fast asleep. So I want you to imagine, I don't know if you've ever been on a ship in a storm. It's not the place to be. This ship is being tossed to and fro. The furniture is being thrown all over the place. It is not possible to be asleep in a ship in a storm. Unless your name's Jesus. But Jonah is fast asleep, and it tells me that Jonah, sometimes you go into a room to wake up your children and you know they're awake, but they're pretending to be asleep. Jonah is awake because it's not possible to be asleep in a ship in a storm of that magnitude. But Jonah is intent that all the cares that he's running away from, all the responsibilities that he is running away from, he has shut himself off. doesn't want to be bothered with the divine assignment. Jonah is running away from God, and so the Bible tells us in verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And there is no answer from Jonah, because Jonah has no answer to give, because he knows that he's running from God, and he is the cause of all their problems. Then they said to him, they said to every one of his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know whose cause this evil is come upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were they exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, what have you done? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm to us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said to them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. At least some good came from Jonah running away, because all the men on the ship became converts. When they threw Jonah overboard and they saw the miraculous ceasing of the storm, all of them believed on God. Amen. But I want to say to you this morning that there are lessons to be learned for us from the story of Jonah, because every one of us here today, we are Jonah. The word of the Lord has come to us, and that word has made us feel uncomfortable. That it's a word that has called us to come out of our comfort zone. It's a word that speaks to us. It's a word that aren't non-negotiable. It is also a word that makes us feel uncomfortable. And you're wondering what I'm talking about this morning. But Jonah had no doubt in his mind that it was God who had spoken to him. And there is no doubt in our minds as Seventh-day Adventist Christians that God has spoken to us, because we go before the world and we tell them that we are the remnant people of God, and that God has given to us a health message that we call the right arm of the gospel. That's what we do. We go before the world and we talk about the health message and we say it's the right arm, but we are living, you know, we have banked the capital and we are seeking to live off the interest. We love it when they say Seventh-day Adventists in Loma Linda live to 100, and we don't mind basking in the glow of that reputation, but we are not living up to it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20 just reminds us. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye what? So shall ye prosper. There is a prophet that God has blessed this church with, and through her writings, the spirit of prophecy, we have been given guidance. We have a word about the health message. And Ellen White, for over 150 years, the word from Ellen White about the health message has come to us, and we have felt uncomfortable. Like Jonah, we have been running away from that message, that word, that divine assignment that has come to us. Let none who profess godliness regard with indifference the health of the body and flatter themselves that intemperance is no sin and will not affect their spirituality. She says there is a close sympathy that exists between the physical and the moral nature. What we do in terms of how we eat and how we drink and whatever we do, it affects us on a moral level. It affects us on a spiritual level. And so I know we've had the discussion. We say, well, whatever what I eat and drink does not affect my getting to the kingdom. Wrong. Because Ellen White says there is no separation. You cannot separate the two. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do what? Do it all to the glory of God. I don't mind if you don't want to talk to me today, beloved. Do all to the glory of God. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, is the language of the Apostle Peter, and many regard it as warning as applicable only to licentious behavior. But Ellen White says, but it has a broader meaning. It guards against every injurious gratification of appetite or passion. It is a most forcible warning against the use of such stimulants as narcotics and narcotics such as tea, coffee, tobacco, alcohol, and morphine. Pastor Bernie, I don't know if I'm going to be invited back here today again. But she talks about the free use of tea and coffee. These are messages that have come to us for over 150 years. And like Jonah, we are running away because we don't like the divine assignment. Grains and fruits prepared free from grease and in a manner a natural condition as possible should be the food for the tables of all who claim to be preparing for translation to heaven. And as I began this word this morning, I talked about the fact that we can see things being put in place for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When President Trump takes office in next year in January, we are going to be in for some great surprises, or some pleasant surprises, depending on your perspective. This is a quote that blew me away. She says, the liability to take disease is increased tenfold by meat eating. The liability to take disease is increased tenfold by meat eating. This is also corroborated by the study done by Colin Campbell in the China study, because Colin Campbell says that the amount of disease that you introduced in your body is directly commensurate to the amount of animal protein that you introduce into your body. There's a scientific evidence. That quote is taken from the book Counsels on Diet and Foods, page 386. Greater reform should be seen among the people who claim to be looking for the soon appearing of Christ. Health reform is to do among our people a work that it has not yet done. I'm talking about the divine assignment. I'm talking about the fact that God has given to us an assignment as Seventh-day Adventist Christians. And like Jonah, we have been running away from our responsibility and our obligation to God. And we're on our way to Tarshish. We have gone down to Joppa and we've all bought ourselves a ticket and we are on the run away from our responsibility to God and our responsibility to the wider community. Because we should be a beacon of hope for the community. Amen. Drug medication, as it's generally practiced, is a curse. Educate away from drugs. Use them less and less and depend more upon hygienic agencies. Then nature will respond to God's physicians, pure air, pure water, proper exercise, and a clear conscience. Drug medication does not cure. It may suppress the symptoms. It may give the impression that we're feeling better or we're better. But why do you go to the chemist every month for a repeat prescription? I watch my mother, who's not so well, and it would always be that repeat prescription that comes, because it's not intended to help you to get better. It's just intended to maintain. But what we want is a cure. Those who persist in the use of tea and coffee and flesh meats will feel the need of drugs, but many might recover without one grain of medicine if they would obey the laws of health. Drugs need seldom be used. Councils on Health, page 261. I'm just telling you what the prophet is saying, beloved. These are not my words. Don't get upset with me this morning. Another precious blessing is proper exercise. When the weather will permit, all who can possibly do so ought to walk in the open air every day, summer and winter, but the clothing should be suitable for the exercise and the feet should be well protected. A walk, even in winter, would be more beneficial to the health than all the medicine the doctors may prescribe. Lord, have mercy. My wife and I did our training in Romania, and we arrived there at the end of October. And our practice was to go out walking every day, and we noticed as we got to November that it started to snow, and we said, well, we won't go out walking today. The next day it snowed, and the day after that it snowed, and we realized that, you know, if we're going to do an exercise, we just need to get ourselves equipped. And it just snowed all the way through the winter, and so we just went out walking every day. But we made sure we had proper clothing on. But she says that a walk, even in the winter, half an hour's walk, will do more benefit than all the medicines that the doctor can give you. She goes on to say that the law of the universe is motion. The only thing in the universe that's not moving is dead. And so we ought to be moving, because it imparts life and vigor to the bones. Like Jonah, we have bought ourselves a ticket and we're on our way to Tarshish, running away from our divine assignment. But not only have we bought a ticket, but we're fast asleep in the bottom of the boat. You may say that's a bit harsh, but the truth is, Matthew chapter 25 says they all did what? They all slumbered and slept. Sometimes we're comatose, oblivious to what's happening around us. As when I worked in Africa, I would go through to Adventist events, and it was like a meat fest, whether it's a wedding or an engagement or whatever. And I would say, folk, you know, we ought to move away from these foods. And they say, Pastor, you know, our animals, they are free range. We're not pumping them up with hormones, but they still died of heart disease. Just just want you to know, beloved, that I'm not beating up on you today, because I was Jonah running away myself. Came into ministry over 40 years ago, and when I arrived at the Brixton Church, I was a handsome young man, slim. And as the years went on, my wife would say to me, "Sam, you're putting on weight." But I knew I was in control, I told myself. And she would say, "Sam, you're putting on weight." And eventually there came a point where I could no longer control the weight. I thought I was in control. And you know, in ministry, Greg, you come home late at night, and so that's the time you sit down to eat. I know you don't do that, bro. But you come home late at night, and that's the time you're eating, 10 o'clock at night, and then going to bed on a full stomach. That was me. Kidded myself that I play badminton twice a week, so I'm all right. My wife would create special lunches for me when I was in the conference office. She would say, "Sam, this is your lunch for today." And I'd get to the conference office and they would have conference dinner, and that was much more attractive. And I'd take back home her lunch. And the weight just kept piling on. And when one of my favorites was the Walker's cheese and onion crisp. I know you don't know what I'm talking about today, beloved. And I was just eating all the things that I shouldn't be eating, doing what I wanted to do. And I convinced myself that I was on a good track because I was a vegetarian. Doing all the wrong stuff. I just love going to the Indian restaurants. In fact, Rowena came to me one day and she said, "You know, Sam, we need to stop going to the Indian restaurant because that food's not good for us." And I agreed. But I'd be working late at the conference office and I would hear the Indian restaurant calling my name. And so I'd sneak out and I'd go and I'd get that chana tikka masala and the naan bread, and I would come back and I'd have that in the office while I was working, and I'd get home and she would say, "You've been to the Indian restaurant, haven't you?" So I decided I had to change my tactics. And so I'd go to the Indian restaurant, I'd get myself extra strong mints to disguise the fact that I'd been to the Indian restaurant. And I got home having had those extra strong mints, and she said, "You've been to the Indian restaurant again, haven't you?" And I had to give it up. And then she came one day and she said, "You know, Sam, those frozen vegetarian foods that we're eating, the vegetarian burgers and the sausages and so on, they're no good for us. We need to give them up." Yeah, we need to give them up. But we need to have some in the fridge, in the freezer for emergencies. It's amazing how many emergencies there were. 2015, we left the conference office. And we decided that we were going to go to a lifestyle center, just like what we run now. Decided we'd go to a lifestyle center just to see how things were with our health. And as I sat in front of the doctor, he took my sample of my blood, looked under his microscope, and he looked me in the eyes and he said, "You've got heart disease." I thought, no, doctor, I can't have heart disease. And then he continued and he said, "You've been eating too many fried foods." And I thought, well, no, we don't eat fried foods at home. But as I reflected, it was as I drove around the country in my car, those packet of crisps, those burger meals from Burger King with the fries. I'd be in an airport lounge and I'd have the Wetherspoon breakfast. I'd be preaching far away, and we'd check into a bed and breakfast, and I'd come down in the morning, and there was that breakfast that I had already paid for, so I had to eat it, right? Two eggs, hash browns, and all this, that stuff that I shouldn't be eating, and Rowena would sit there with her oats and berries. The doctor said, "You've got heart disease." As I arrived at that lifestyle center, there were so many things going on with me. Enlarged prostate, varicose veins, sleep apnea. I was Jonah running away. Didn't like the divine assignment. I was having to wear a CPAP machine for my apnea. Hated it. And as we had planned that journey, I said to Rowena, "I'm not carrying the CPAP machine because it's making indents in my forehead. It's making me look ugly." And she said, "You're already ugly, bro. You will wear it." We got to this place, and 4 days in, she said, "Sam, your sleep apnea is gone. Lifestyle center, your sleep apnea is gone." And I've never worn that machine since. I came back and I contacted my doctor, and I said, "I won't need the," contacted the hospital. I said, "You can take the machine back. I won't be needing it." And they said, "Well, you need to come in and do a sleep test." I said, "No, I don't need that." They said, "If you don't come, we'll take your driving license away. We'll contact the DVLA and they'll take your driving license." And I said, "I'm coming." And they did that sleep test. And they said to me, "Your interruptions were 30, up to 30 per minute. And now it's down to 4 to 5 in the normal range. Never use that machine again." But I was Jonah, running away from the divine assignment, and God threw me overboard into a sea of sickness. We are asleep to the importance of the message, asleep to the relevance of the message that God has given to every one of us. And we're running away from that divine assignment. We love to talk about the fact that as Seventh-day Adventists, the health message is the right arm of the gospel, but we need to begin to live it rather than just talk about it. We need to make it part of our life experience rather than living in the glow or the radiance of others who do live it. Research shows that those who are of the black community have a 1 in 4 risk of being diagnosed with prostate cancer. If you're over 40, you should be getting your prostate checked regularly, annually. There are about 56,800 new breast cancer cases in the UK every year. And I wish I could say to you that Seventh-day Adventists are not among them. 4.4 million people in the UK live with diabetes. Additionally, 1.2 million people could be living with type 2 diabetes and are yet undiagnosed. And I wish I could say to you that diabetes doesn't affect us as Seventh-day Adventists. I wish I could say to you that lupus doesn't affect us as Seventh-day Adventists. Breast cancer is the most common cancer in the UK, accounting for 15% of all new cancer cases. And I wish I could say that we are immune. But we're not. In females in the UK, breast cancer is the most common cancer, around 56,400 new cases every year. We have stroke, there is lupus, there's high blood pressure, there's acid reflux. We are in a sea of disease. All of our own making. The greater number of those who suffer, suffer because of their own wrong course of action. Through principles of eating and drinking, dressing and working, Their transgression of nature's laws produces a sure result. And when sickness comes upon them, they do not credit their suffering to the true cause, but murmur against God because of their afflictions. But God is not responsible for their suffering that follows the disregard of natural laws. We are responsible. Like Jonah, we've gone down into the bottom of the boat and we're fast asleep heading for Tarshish. Tarshish represents rebellion against the divine purpose. It represents a running away from that what God has in mind for every one of us. Tarshish is living in disobedience to the divine will. And beloved, we are surrounded with a sea of sickness, stroke, diabetes, heart disease, prostate cancer, kidney disease, hypertension, every single one of them and more avoidable through lifestyle. The Bible tells us, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. I want to say to you this afternoon that sickness is not personal. When you get sick, the family rallies around you. Everybody is trying to help you to recover. And so sickness is not personal, and therefore we have a responsibility to make sure that we stay well so that it doesn't impact the lives of those around us, those who are interested in our well-being. It's interesting that in a time when there was no insurance, those mariners threw all their goods overboard to save Jonah's sorry life. And they couldn't get on the phone and say, well, can we claim our insurance, please? Seventh-day Adventists are handling momentous truths. More than 40 years ago, at the time when she was writing, the Lord gave a special light on health reform. But how are we walking in that light? How many have refused to live in harmony with the counsels of God? As a people, we should make advancement proportionate to the light received. We're talking about the fact that we are standing on the very threshold of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see the pronouncement that Donald Trump has made regarding his next 4 years, and yet, beloved, the message has not reached us. It's late. Too late. Never too late, because we can make those changes today. There are those, she says, who have little respect for the light that God has given us upon this subject. I pray that it's not you today. Those who choose to be presumptuous, saying, the Lord has healed me and I need not restrict my diet, I can eat and drink as I please, will ere long need in body and soul the restoring power of God. There is no blank check. We need to live according to the principles that God has given to us. God has graciously healed us. Every time you are sick and you get better is because of the goodness of God. Amen. It's because God has been good to us. And because God has been good to us, we need to honor him in the lives that we live. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and the Lord heard my voice. When we get sick, we make all kinds of promises. Lord, I'm never going to eat that fish again. Lord, I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do that. And then as soon as we're better, we forget the promises that we make. Like Jonah, we cry out from the belly of sickness And God is gracious enough to hear our cry. Jonah finally agrees to the divine assignment. And that divine assignment comes to every one of us today. Don't be like Jonah, who accepted the call under adverse circumstances from the belly of the fish. We don't want to find ourselves in circumstances that forces us to accept a message that God has given to us. You know, as the president of the conference, when I was going around, there was a time when there was the bird flu, and it was bird flu, and then I heard Seventh-day Adventists saying, well, maybe it's time for me to become a vegetarian. No, we should not be reactive. We need to be proactive. And that time has almost passed us by. Tarshish represents living in rebellion to the divine assignment. And some of us have fallen asleep in the bottom of the boat. We don't care about the health message, but God is speaking to every one of us today. Do not wait to be thrown overboard and into a sea of sickness. Today, if you will hear his voice, hearken not your heart. God has given to us a wonderful, wonderful health message. A health message that is the envy of others. Let us respect that which God has given to us. The health message is not just about food and drink. It's about good nutrition. It's about exercise. It's about water drinking. It's about sunshine. It's about temperance. It's about fresh air. It's about rest. It's about trust in God. Those are the principles that God has given to this church. We cannot live off the interest, but we need to make sure that we are doing, and I appeal to you today as I close, to accept the divine assignment that has been given to every one of us while we still have time and opportunity. God is speaking to every one of us today. May God bless you.